morning again. I invite you to the book of Mark this morning. We'll be here for a little bit. I want to talk to you this morning about time. Just time. I mean, one thing. I also want to call the third week in July from here on out and the third week in January, so twice a year, I want to call them Mission Sundays, all right? Not looking at what we do for missions, but what we do and how we look at our own mission. We are a church, and we should have a mission. We are individuals who make up a body, and we should have a mission. And the mission is very simple. The mission as a body of Jesus Christ is to really deliver the message of Jesus. And that message is delivered in a lot of different ways. It can be personally, it can be profoundly, it can be in a worship setting, it can be strategically, it can be through programs, it can be through a prayer program even. But I really believe that as we begin thinking about our own mission and who we are as a body of believers, who we are as Rise Christian Church, who we are as our own people, our own person, our own believer, and also who we are moving forward, it's good to take a couple of weeks out of the year and kind of reset. I've noticed a couple things in studying for this time and researching for this time is that things are moving so quickly. I don't have to tell you this. The world is moving so quickly, constantly, and things are changing just at a rapid speed like never before, and it's never going to be the same. Yesterday is gone, and tomorrow will be different, and every week is just that way. We are moving at just the speed of light. Things are changing so quickly, moment to moment. And it's not just you that feel this, right? I mean, we all feel this, right? And in a lot of ways, our computers, our technology, the way we live our lives, our phones, all those things rule us. So I want to talk this morning about time. I want to begin with prayer again, and I want to remember the reason Jesus came, because that's really our mission, okay? The reason Jesus came is the reason we gather. The reason Jesus came is the reason we move forward. The reason Jesus came is how we reset. When we have problems, we think about the reason Jesus came, all these things. So let's begin with prayer. That's where we should begin. Let's bow our heads and talk to Jesus for a minute. Lord God in heaven, Jesus Christ, we pray to you. You are a risen Savior. You sit at the right hand of the Father. And you promise to return for us. We thank you, Lord, for all that you have done and all that you are yet doing. We thank you for the time that you gave the world and the time you're giving us, mostly to come to you and to repent. So, Father, as we've just met in a time of communion together, as we've just bowed our heads and hopefully examined our own self, may we quickly understand, Lord, that you call us in whatever ways we are today to come again to you. May we really understand that we're supposed to come again to you. The Bible is very clear that your loving kindness leads us to repentance, that you deeply desire a relationship with us. Not just service, not just obedience, but a relationship. And so, Father, as we take communion, as we just have, may we take some time to examine ourselves. May we take some time to ask you to come in and reveal to us our sin, or things that are keeping us from you. May we take some time to think about how we move forward in our own life. You've numbered our days. You've even numbered the hairs on our head. And only you know that number. And so we submit our time again to you this morning. Be with us as we talk about the time we have left. These things we pray in your name. Amen. Mark chapter 1 is where we begin. I've given you a number of verses there. I really only want to focus on a few of them, and we'll get to that. Mark is the most simple writer of the gospel writers, and so he's concise and accurate, and this is his perspective in being that way. In the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Mark begins, as is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." John appeared. Of course, he was speaking of John the Baptist. John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. That's what John came proclaiming. A baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. So it seems people were being preached to, the gospel was being proclaimed, and people were responding in their own perspective. He was going out to him, they were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. And that was a public confession. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, and he was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my blessed Son. With you I am well pleased." The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. And after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. And they went into Capernaum. And immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. And immediately there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet," or "Be silent," "and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "Who is this? A new teaching with authority. What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And at once his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. And immediately he left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons. And the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak, because they knew him. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. And they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. Well, that's our text. There's a lot in there. I'm not going to try to preach through every verse there, but I do want to look at the last few verses. Okay? Jesus, it says, rose very early in the morning, verse 35, while it was still dark. Before the sun came up, whatever time that was, he departs and he goes to a desolate place, and there he prays. That's how he begins his day. And often, I believe, he probably began his day that way. It says, Simon and those who were with him searched for him. And they found him and said, "Everybody's looking for you." That must have been the common detail, right? Everyone is constantly after you, Lord. Master, everyone seeks you. Rabbi, teacher, everyone wants to know this or that. That must have been a common occurrence. Constantly, people, day and night, chasing the Lord. Verse 38 tells us, and he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." Why does Jesus come to us? Why does Jesus come to the earth? To preach. He says so right here. Isn't that interesting? To preach. Now we know in other scriptures, I gave you a couple of them, he also has come to seek and save the lost. Not just to preach, but to seek and save the lost. But he comes to preach so that we might respond to his Father's word. And the apostles write it down. The Holy Spirit reminds them of what he has said. He leaves the Holy Spirit with them for a couple reasons. To be with them, number one. To remind them of what he has said, number two. And to drive them where they need to go, number three. And so as we think about our own mission and our own time, I want you to think about that. I just want to talk about time. And I have a special video for you. Hopefully Shelley... hopefully I have this right for Shelley, and hopefully Shelley can cast it right to you. That's what I want to say, not hopefully Shelley got this right, because it's all from me, right? But Shelley, I trust that you're better at this than I am, so I want to challenge you in how you spend your time, and so I found this video. I've shown our youth this a few weeks ago. It's really interesting, and it takes about a minute, but maybe we'll show it like three times, and maybe in there we'll get it so you can understand it. But I want you to, it really covers how we as people have spent our time in the last 100 years. So think about that. It's 2025. This is about 100 years back, and it goes pretty rapidly. So keep your eyes on something that changes. You'll notice it. Go ahead, Shelley. Thank you. This is 1930-something, right? A lot of people spend their time with friends and family. Go ahead, Shelley. That's fine. I'll scream. If you notice that last line there, it says online. Nothing online yet in the 70s. 80s, oh wow, we're getting there. New technology. Almost 61% of our time is spent online. Bless them with friends or coworkers or eating out or with family or with education or with church or with neighbors even. Think about how people used to spend their time in 1946, 7, 8, 9. What's most interesting to me is how we spend our time with our neighbors, or how we used to, and it just collapses. And it's pretty believable, because how well do we know our neighbors? How much time do we spend with them? One more time, just in case you missed some of it. What's that? Heather says, family was number one. Family was number one. The fracturing of the family. When does it become number three or less? Mid-80s. Well, the only thing we don't have is how they arrived at those numbers. I'm not sure how. But that's pretty believable if you just stare at it a minute. We spend 61% of our time, and I'm going to just assume this means not sleeping, our time not sleeping. 61% of our time awake is spent online or something with technology that exists online. And it's pretty believable if you consider these things, right? Friends, still pretty important to us. 13.86% of our time is spent with friends in 2024. That might be better than in 2020 per se, or 2021. Coworkers. Interestingly enough, we still kind of want a relationship with our coworkers. Eating out, bars, restaurants, it says. I'm not sure what exactly that means, but 5% of our time eating out. Family, less than 5%. In school, less than 4%. At church, less than 2% of our time. With our neighbors, at church, less than 3%. Neighbors, with our time with our neighbors, less than 2%. And education is pretty small. So comparatively speaking, think about all the time you spend with college. It's a pretty small percentage. I give that to you not to make you feel bad, but to prove that maybe you're normal. But the normal maybe isn't so good. Thank you, Shelley. How we spend our time is very important. Jesus scheduled his day, it seems, from these verses. He began with time with his Father. And the best way to slow yourself down is to probably get away from other people and to spend some time with God. To really hear from him. To really ask him to speak to you. To find a desolate place. The New Testament tells us to go into our room and shut the door, and go into our closet and shut the door, and to pray. And when you pray, pour out your heart, and when you pray, to keep yourself from many, many words, but just simply to talk to God. They found that this was essential for Jesus' life. And I was thinking about the time that he spent on earth. 30 years, and then he begins a 3-year ministry. 3 years of ministry, and then 3 days for death. Very scheduled. Very composed. In order to conquer the cross, he must have been. We know that he learned obedience through suffering, which is part of our own life. We know that he learned how to behave and to grow up and to be wise by spending time with his father and listening to his parents. But that time that he had was very slowly drawn to a place where he would eventually begin his ministry. We see this in Mark chapter 1. He takes a lot of time to grow up, a lot of time to be baptized, a lot of time to be let off and to be tempted, a lot of time to begin his ministry, a lot of time spent with his father to prepare for each day, a lot of time with his disciples to prepare them to live the same way. And so there's a couple of things I want to mention first of all. And we'll get into some of this as I bring you some videos in the next several weeks. The church has primarily focused on discipling and teaching, and that's a good thing. But we have somehow lost the ability to create personal relationships that deeply matter. And you're not going to get those in a Bible study necessarily. You're not going to get those in a woman's Bible study or a men's Bible study or in a life group necessarily. I mean, you can. But that's only if you prioritize those relationships outside of all of that too. And so we have to begin, if we're ever going to really be something as a body here in Stockton, we have to begin again, thinking again about why Jesus has put us here and what we are to do here. And to kind of pray through and move through these relationships around us. And I think it's probably best we start with the relationships right here and now in this room. If we're not together and united in a good way, we can't bring people in a logical way, right? And expect them to be part of this. We're just playing church. And some of that might be due to church hurt. Some of that might be due to just time. Some of that might be due to schedule. Some of that might be just due to relationships or priorities. That's the way it is. But until we as individuals take it seriously, that Jesus has called us to this place in this time and given us these blessings, it's hard to move forward. And until we really do that in prayer first, I think it's very hard to move forward. So I'm offering a time of prayer every Sunday and a time of prayer every Wednesday. And if you can't make those, I understand, but I'd love it if you could. And as we are 10 years in, I feel like we're just beginning. I feel like Arise Christian Church is just beginning. There's a lot of things we've done right. It's been awesome. There's a lot of things that Jesus has led us through. It's been awesome. There's a lot of things we need to do better. And so as we talk about our mission, we are to be to the world what Jesus is to us. Light. Salvation. Truth. Forgiveness. Love and support and prayer. And it's not just to build the church. I mean, it's not just church work for church growth's sake. That's dumb. But these relationships have to become real and vital. We must become dependent on him and on each other. Listen to what Mark writes in Mark chapter 1, verse 36. Simon and those who were with him searched for him. And they found him, and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." I mean, isn't that the gospel in a nutshell? We search for him, we find him, and others are really searching, even if they don't know they're searching. Everyone's looking for him. Or they're looking for some version of him, right? But deep down in their soul, I think they're looking for salvation. They're looking for a savior. They're looking for him, and it's in their own time. And we need to speak to that. The gospel writers tell us that we should shake the dust off our feet if people don't accept us. Keep moving. Keep preaching. Keep teaching. Keep moving. What's Jesus' response to this? Let us go on to the next towns. Let's keep moving, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out. If it doesn't work here, if it doesn't work with your neighbor, keep moving. If it doesn't work with your coworker, your family, your friends, people you go to college with, people you spend time with at a restaurant or a bar or wherever you go, if it doesn't work to keep drawing them in, loving them, and keep telling them about Christ, keep moving. Let's go to the next towns, because time is short. Verse 39 says, "And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons." So that's Jesus' experience. We can't cast out too many demons without him, of course. That was the power that was vested in him, given to him as God's son. There maybe are some things we can do to help cast out some demons in people's lives, though. I see a lot of them in and out throughout the week. Helped a lady this past week and the week before. She's texting me at 2 a.m., "Are you awake?" No, I see it in the morning. Sometimes I am, but no. Panic attacks and anxiety and a relationship that's really toxic, she's trying to get out of and moved away from, and there is that. That mixed with poor choices and relationships and really not a lot of tools in her own life, beginning in her own life, we can speak to those things. You need Jesus, and you need the church. You need a support system that cares about you, that protects you and offers you the truth. And then you need to respond to it. Be held accountable by it. Get in a group that loves you, and supports you, tells you the truth. Our time is short. Let's look at a few of our references, and then we'll wrap this up a bit. Okay, turn with me to Luke 19. Luke 19 says, "He entered Jericho and was passing through, and there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich." Luke 19, verse 1 and 2. "And he was seeking to see who Jesus was." Here's a classic example. A man who's living in the world, making money, taxing people, chief tax collector. He's doing some different things, but on account of the crowd, account of his size, his short stature, he's unable to see him. So he runs ahead and climbs up into a sycamore tree to see him. That is Zacchaeus, to see Jesus, for he was about to pass by. And Jesus came to that place. He looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. That's going to be people's response sometimes. They're going to grumble against what has happened. Jesus, they grumble against, "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." We're spending time with what kind of person? A person who needs Jesus. Yeah. Shocker. Right? Zacchaeus stood, verse 8, and says to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, Half of my goods I give to the poor, and I have defrauded anyone, anything, I restore it fourfold. Look at his response. I know I've done wrong. I'm going to give half of my goods to the poor. If I've defrauded anyone, if anyone comes to me and says, you've defrauded me, fourfold will be returned. And Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house, since he is also a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Why did Jesus come? For those who are lost. And I really want to say this too, the church has really bought into it. In a good way, they've bought into seeking and saving the lost. They've really organized a lot of what the church does, has organized itself around seekers. And in a lot of ways, we've kind of prioritized the seekers, which is great. But in the process, we've lost the real essence of the church. So I want to leave you with this. It's time the church wakes up and understands that church is for the saved. We will always have seekers. We will always have those seeking. And that is wonderful. We should speak to that. But the brothers and sisters of Christ are our priority. The Bible says so. You must know that. The best way we can preach and teach to the world around us is to take care of each other, to pray for each other, to encourage one another, to build up the body. Not to build the body. That's Jesus' job. Jesus says, I will build my church. We are to glorify God and edify the church. And maybe thirdly, to preach and teach to those who are lost. And if anyone comes in, if anyone stumbles in and like what they see, as John MacArthur said, hopefully they like what they see, right? If they happen to stumble in, they're unbelieving, hopefully they like what they see and they stay and they're convicted. It's time we think about taking care of each other first. And wrapping our minds around a mission that works. And that mission is to love people like Jesus did. To begin our days with prayer. To think about what the body needs. And then to move out from there. That's the mission of the church. And we can get lost in taking care of each other. That's wrong. We can get lost in taking care of the world around us. That's wrong too. There must be this balance, and to keep moving forward. And I'm not saying we really prioritize this program or that program. I don't really care about programs. I don't even really care about growth. Jesus will grow the church. I care about truth. I care about God's people maturing in Jesus. And so we begin again this morning. We begin again, and we talk about our time. How are you spending your time? According to this video we've seen, and according to probably the truth, I think it's fair to say we spend a lot of time online. Electronically, we need to put those things away, put them down, and get out and meet people. Get out and serve one another. Get to bed on time, get up on time, pray, worship. These things we know we need to do. One more reference for you, Isaiah 61. I'll close with it. This is a very loose prophecy for Christ. It's the year of the Lord's favor, Isaiah 61. Amazing chapter. You can read most of it. I'll just give you the first few verses. Isaiah 61 says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. How beautiful that verse is. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. A loose prophecy according to Jesus. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. Now, that's beautiful. Oaks of righteousness, the Bible calls us. The saints, those who are saved by grace. Sinners saved by grace. So if all we have is time, what are you going to do with it? How do you begin again prioritizing your time? I'd like to begin again by reminding you of prayer, petitioning the Lord, and asking him to come near to you with each day. That is how I would recommend you begin your day, with prayer and with petitioning him to come close and to move you throughout your day as the Spirit moves his people. So I challenge you this week to think about your time. We'll talk more about how we reestablish our mission. This is very important that we consider our time and what God has called us to. Let's pray. Father God, be with us as Lord of our time. We are not masters of our own schedule or masters of our own time or masters of our own technology, really, or anything anymore. Feels like we're not masters of anything. Many of us focus on simply making money and turning the wheels and doing it all again with each day. And you call us to work, certainly. And may we do it with joy and considering the time you've given us. May we begin by praying, asking you to lead us, dedicating our lives to you again. Refreshingly so. Maybe it's as simple as writing a schedule or writing down what needs to be accomplished with each day on a piece of paper and checking them off. I think we all begin each day with great desires and great motives. Many of us accomplishing lots of things. But if it's not done in the name of Jesus, what is it really? So help us, Lord, as you called us all to different things and yet called us all together to be a part of a church. Help us, Lord, as a body of believers to consider the time we spend and how we spend it and the time we spend with you and then the time we spend with each other, glorifying you and building up the church. We trust that you will continue to build your church. We trust that you will continue to do your work through us. We trust that you will continue to give us exactly what we need in the right time, as you always do and have. We thank you, Lord, for your provisions, for your power, for your might. Be with us, Lord, as your family of believers here today, and bless us with a good fellowship together. In your name. We thank you for your example, Jesus. Let us begin again. These things we pray in your name. Amen.